ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, where it's all about cashing those tickets, baby. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. Shout outs to our good friends, Mr. Ronnie, Mr. Anthony. You're on your way to give some great words this morning. May God bless you in your words this morning. You're listening to the fastest growing sports talk radio show in Lexington, so consider yourselves lucky and join in on the conversation this morning. 859-381-1313 if you'd like to join in. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Chime in at BottomLineLex. And you can email us anytime with our email to this show now, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, welcome to Lexington, home of the best two-loss team in college basketball. And yes, that Kentucky team heads down to my old stomping grounds in the ATL today to face Georgia Tech. NFL Week 13 is here, and you can listen to the Bengals on our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock, this afternoon. And of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, coming off our second consecutive undefeated week. I'm not sure what else I could do for you people, so don't be a moron. Just put more money on our picks. That's all you got to do. It's like my old man used to say, when you're winning, the pop tastes colder, the women look great, and even your jokes are funny, boy. But when you're losing, the pop is awful warm, the women are ugly, and your jokes, if you tell another one, I'm going to kick you right in the kneecap. All that and more on today's edition of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. But first, you are what your record says you are. The great Hall of Fame coach himself, Bill Parcells. You remember him. He won two Super Bowls back in the 86 and 1990 season for the New York Giants. By the way, he never won anything without Bill Belichick as defensive coordinator for those teams. But that's another story for another day. But Bill Parcells was a quote machine. He was, the media in New York City loved him when he coached the Giants. But his probably most popular quote was that you are what your record says you are. And that's his way of saying you have to own your record, whether it's good or bad, with no excuses. And it doesn't matter if you're Mark Stoops trying to win the SEC or a guy like me trying to handicap games and pick winners. We are judged by the bottom line. And it's no coincidence that's the name of this show. At the end of the day, what's your record? That's how we measure your skill level. Handicappers often have wild stories and tales of woe about winning or losing picks that would have made a grown man cry. And we all have the bad beat stories that we tell over and over again ad nauseum that nobody's really interested in hearing. Heck, the most popular segment on all of ESPN for the last few years is Scott Van Pelt's weekly review of the bad beats in the world of sports gambling. It's the most popular segment on probably all of ESPN programming. And in a world of bad beats and backdoor covers, those of us out here trying to pick winners and cash tickets, we must own our own record, just like the big-time college football coaches. But no matter what you're doing with your life, you have to be accountable for your record. You are what your record says you are. And the world's not fair. Nobody wants to hear your sob stories, and we all have them. Not just in sports, but in life. My parents did this. My teachers did that. My coach wouldn't do this. My boss wouldn't do that. Whether they're legitimate excuses or not, admitting your shortcomings leads to improvement a lot quicker than rehashing the past and living in denial. So in this once-in-a-lifetime COVID-19 season, where the SEC changed its schedule to a 10-game conference season, Kentucky finished off last night with a win over South Carolina to finish up at 4-6. Not nearly as well as a lot of the public media, Big Blue Nation supporters thought would happen way back in August. And once again, at 4-6, Kentucky had a losing record in the SEC, or a non-winning record, for the 42nd time in 43 years. And yes, South Carolina was playing with an interim coach, 46 scholarship players, but a win is a win in the SEC, especially this year. You are what your record says you are. Now, we could sit here and tell you what happened in that game last night, but we're a big picture, big topic show. So we look at this team going forward based on what's happened in the past. That's how we handicap games, so why can't we do this for the status of this program? That 4-6 record is not sitting well at all with the Big Blue Nation. Not because they feel like their team isn't as good as several other SEC teams, because they do. But because they got the old Montreal screw job from the SEC making them play 10 conference games and adding Ole Miss and Alabama instead of those cupcake games they had scheduled way back in the summer. And let's be realistic here. Before the COVID changed the schedule, Kentucky had 8 conference games. And in those 8 originally scheduled games, Kentucky went 4-4. And that would tie them for the second best SEC record for the program in the last 43 years. Of course, the 3 cupcake games, a.k.a. surefire wins, were taken off the schedule. And Ole Miss and Alabama, both games which Kentucky lost, were added. By the way, Kentucky was favored to beat Ole Miss, so that's not something you could dismiss. So instead of 4-6, if Kentucky had kept their original schedule, they would be 7-4 right now heading into the game at Louisville. And of course, Big Blue Nation would assume that Kentucky would have defeated Louisville had they played that game this season. Although back in the summer, the look-ahead lines out in the desert said that actually Louisville was a small favorite in that game, but I digress. So Big Blue Nation can rationalize that had there been no COVID, we would have finished 8-4. First of all, when you refer to a team as we or us or our, I can't respect your opinion because you're obviously biased. But just like Parcells said, you are what your record says you are. You're 4-6. You're not 8-4. In the 80s, there was a show called The Fall Guy, starring Kentucky's own Lee Majors, the $6 million man himself. A man who, according to my mom, was a PE student teacher decades ago who was more worried about his hair than anything else. It was a terrible show, The Fall Guy. It was awful. But the theme song was great. That's the only thing I remember from the whole show. One of the lines from that theme song went, "I never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty." Now, how many kids you think in elementary and middle school walked around saying that same thing to the girls as they walked around the hallways? Oh, quite a few around here, I can promise. So they made no secret on that show that they were targeting the lowest common denominator for viewership. But the Kentucky football team this year had 3 fall guys. Let's look at those fall guys for this season. Fall guy number 1, of course, our old pal and our buddy, Terry Wilson. He was the first topic on this show when we began the show back in the summer, and people got a little upset with us because we were being too hard on Terry Wilson, and because he has been so great for the Kentucky football program. And that's not, you know, I understand why you say that, Big Blue Nation. Even people in this studio was wondering why I was so difficult on Terry Wilson. But all we did on this show was just look at the data. He finished 13 in the SEC in quarterback rating for 2 consecutive seasons, and was extremely inconsistent playing in games against superior competition. But all summer, all we heard about the media spin for Terry Wilson was all positive, and he was going to set the world on fire this year. He's got a new haircut. He's got a new attitude. He looks better than ever, and he's saying all the right things. Well, that's great for August, and that sells newspapers and gets TV viewers and all that stuff. But that doesn't win football games in November. Last night, Terry Wilson ended his career in Lexington. And yes, we think he's going to leave after this season, although he could conceivably come back. His quarterback rating last night, 67 out of 100. And as of this morning, in the QBR ratings, Terry Wilson, 10th in the SEC. That's a big improvement over the 13th that he's placed in the previous 2 seasons. I guess that haircut and new attitude really was a reason to believe in him this year. The Pro Football Focus ratings, we rely on those quite a bit on this show. We think they're very good. Out of 128 quarterbacks this year, Terry Wilson, before last night's game, was 95th. 95th out of 128. take no solace, Tennessee fans, your boy Jarrett Guarantano was 98th out of 128. So Terry Wilson and Guarantano, basically the same guy. And if you saw the Kentucky-Tennessee game, you would wonder how that was the case. Is this season all on Terry Wilson? No, of course not. There's a bigger reason for his struggles. Mainly a guy asking him to do things that aren't his strength. But we'll get to that shortly. But what Wilson will always be seen by from the Big Blue Nation is a quarterback that had a 16-8 record as a starter, although five of those were against non-Power 5 cupcakes. He stopped losing streaks at Florida and Tennessee and won a New Year's Day bowl game against Penn State. Regardless of what the numbers say and what analytics nerds like me say, he will always have that. Let's look at fall guy number two, or should we say the fall guys number two. It's those wide receivers. From those pro football-focused player grades, there are 371 wide receivers ranked nationally. Of those receivers that play for Kentucky, Josh Ali ranked 155th out of 371. Allen Daly Jr., 320th out of 371. DeMarcus Harris, 368th out of 371 wide receivers nationally. This is a Power 5 team. These are receivers that should be better than the worst in the nation. And yet they're running out for these SEC games. And these player grades say Kentucky's got the worst group of wide receivers, not only in the SEC by far, but debatably in all of the nation. Now, whose fault is that? Is that the receivers' faults that they can't do any better? Are they being coached a certain way? Are they not being coached a certain way? That's for the numbers to decide. But those are the fall guys, number two. But number three, the real fall guy in all this, it's Eddie Grand, the offensive coordinator. And in the last two seasons, who could argue with what Eddie Grand did with his offense on this team? 2 years ago, of course, the dream season, 10-3. He made Benny Snell the leading rusher in the history of Kentucky football. And last year, took Lynn Bowden, a wide receiver who couldn't throw, and made a viable offense somehow, some way, in the second half of the season when the entire stadium knew what was coming basically every play. But this year, the wheels completely came off. Only six teams in America had a worse offense than Kentucky's this season, and only two of those six are a Power 5 team, and those two are Kansas and Syracuse, who are the bottom of the barrel. And whether it's his fault that his wide receivers got no production this season, that's debatable. It's difficult to recruit big-time wide receivers when you've proven you can't move the ball passing. And they've already lost one of their magical four wide receiver recruits that I've heard about for months now. They lost one of those a couple of weeks ago when he's flopped from Kentucky to Cincinnati. If you're Kentucky, you don't lose a recruit to Cincinnati. You lose him to Alabama or Georgia, or LSU, not Cincinnati. So recruiting offensive skill players to come play for Eddie Grand, calling the plays, isn't exactly a recipe for success going forward, especially a couple of weeks ago against Florida when going into a timeout in a third and goal situation, I saw Mark Stoops and Vince Merrow literally yelling at the top of their mask-covered mouth voices at Eddie Grand. So Kentucky ends the craziest season in SEC history at 4-6. And according to Mark Stoops, last week he didn't want to play in a bowl game. He didn't want it at all. And after last night, after a win, he says there will be a team meeting on Sunday to determine whether there will be a bowl this season for Kentucky or not. But who is the real fall guy here? Terry Wilson is almost definitely not coming back, although he could with an extra year of eligibility. Maybe the coaching staff will just say, thanks for your time, Terry, but we're moving forward. And he'll have to decide what he does next year. But the real fall guy is going to be Eddie Grant. You can talk about the receivers all you want and all these recruited kids at wide receiver coming in next year and possible transfers coming in next year. Eddie Grant has to realize what the strengths and weaknesses of his team are and act accordingly. You have to be self-aware because the best coaches don't find players to fit their system. They get the best players they can find and fit their system to suffocate for them. That's what they do. I'll be surprised if Eddie Grant is the offensive quarterback next September. In fact, I'll be shocked if Eddie Grant is the offensive coordinator for a bowl game coming up in the next few weeks if they do play the bowl game. So despite last night's feel-good senior night win, someone, somewhere, has to pay for a 4-6 season that failed to live up to high expectations, not only here in the Big Blue Nation, but higher out in the desert before the season started. And that bill that someone has to pay is going to be charged to Eddie Grant. Why? At the end of the day, you are what your record says you are. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Yesterday in college football, number one Alabama, number three Clemson, number four Ohio State, number five Texas A&M. All those teams won and covered against the point spread. So you chalk pushers out there, sounds like you had a great day. Number two Notre Dame and number six Florida. Somehow Tennessee got the old backdoor cover yesterday. So Notre Dame and Florida win their games but do not cover the spread. So there's some underdog plays for you. Game of the day, number 18 Coastal Carolina beats number 13 BYU as BYU came up just short of a touchdown on the final play of the game between two undefeated teams who put this game together like 2 days before. As BYU said, we'll play anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. Well, you had a chance to play Washington early, and you turned that down because you were scared. But Coastal Carolina, yeah, we'll go play them. Uh-huh. Well, you're a 10.5-point favorite in that game, and you still lost. So long, college football playoff for BYU. The struggle continues. Robbie Bosco, your records will remain intact. So, yes, BYU, they're going to get killed for going to actually play because they're going to fall straight out of the rankings now. Goodbye, New Year's Day bowl game. Elsewhere in college football, number 12, Indiana, 14. Number 16, Wisconsin, 6. Why are they even playing those games? Who knew that Indiana would be a top 10 team this year, only in the Big Ten? By the way, the Big Ten, realizing they have one shot to get a team in the college football playoff, Ohio State, but they self-imposed a rule early in the year. Well, you have to play six games to be eligible for our conference championship. And now Ohio State has only played five. They might have one canceled next week against Michigan. Oh, now the Big Ten is going to change their rules so that Ohio State can make the college football playoff. Isn't it amazing? It all depends on who you are in life. If this was Indiana or Wisconsin or somebody like that, Nebraska even, they'd say, nope, sorry, you didn't play enough games. Sorry, we made these rules. But if you're Ohio State and you move the meter like they do, yeah, we changed the rules for you. Isn't that amazing how that happens? Just never forget, it's all about who you are in life. Four other ranked teams lost yesterday straight up as big favorites. Oklahoma State, Marshall, who ruined their perfect season to Rice, of all teams. Washington and Oregon. I remember Oregon was being pumped as a college football playoff team just 4 weeks ago before they started their season. Well, they've lost two. Season over for all the Pac-12 teams now. And if you saw the most interesting game I saw yesterday, Missouri and Arkansas, if you saw the last few minutes, Missouri screwed up a two-point conversion somehow, someway, but somehow they got a field goal at the end to recover. Missouri 50, Arkansas 48. You over chalk pushers, rejoice. College football this week, it's not over. Remember last week we told you about a team and a game that was going to be played Tuesday morning at 10:30. Well, they rescheduled it for today at noon. It's Western Kentucky and Charlotte. Western getting two. Early Mac Daddy Stogie. Give us the Hilltoppers getting 2 points in that game. And if you're not interested in Sunday Night Football, the NFL style, Washington State, 12.5-point underdog at USC. This is Washington State's third game of the season. By the way, Kentucky's season is over at 4-6. They've already played 10 games. That's 2020, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to it. Let's hope it ends quickly. Next week in college football, a lot of games that don't even look like they're worth watching. Number 7, Cincinnati, goes to number 25, Tulsa. Cincinnati should be about a two-touchdown favorite in that one. Probably the game of the week, Big Ten, Wisconsin goes to Iowa. That's a toss-up game. The Jared Guarantano era finally ends in Tennessee next week. Texas A&M travels to Knoxville. A&M probably should be about a double-digit, probably 10-11-point favorite in that game. LSU at Florida. Any other year, it'd be a great game. This year, have you ever seen a team fall off the map as quickly as LSU? They lose their quarterback, Joe Burrow. They lost a lot of people to the NFL who opted out. Yeah, they've gotten a roll of stamps and mailed it in. Florida should be a two-touchdown favorite in that one. And Auburn, Bo Nix, are we a believer in him? Did you see anything in the last couple weeks? Yeah, I'm not either. They're number 22, but they're not going to be ranked for long. They go to Mississippi State. If you can get Mississippi State in a touchdown, which I feel like you will, yeah, don't be afraid to go on Mississippi State next week in those games. And that is your college football Saturday. Coming up after the break, college basketball season is in full swing, kind of. And Kentucky heads down to my old Atlanta home to face Georgia Tech later today. We will get you ready for that one from a handicapping standpoint, but coming up. But first, Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Outdoor Superstore had their grand opening on Black Friday to raving reviews. And now their Christmas sale has started. They've got all kinds of equipment and apparel for the hunter and fisherman in your life. I was in there this week, and they've got their virtual archery practice range all set up now. It is amazing to see. You can go in there and just practice your archery. So if you've got a hunter or a fisherman or a fisherwoman in your family and you want to get them for something for Christmas, Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Outdoor Superstore. 3 miles south of Fayette Mall, they've got everything you need from equipment to apparel. You name it, they've got it. The Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Outdoor Superstore, 3 miles south of Fayette Mall. Don't forget to tell them the bottom line sent you. ESPN Radio 1392.5, college basketball coming up right after the break. Stay tuned. ESPN Radio 1392.5. Nothing but a good time here on the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Sound the alarms. Kentucky basketball is 1-2. What happened to all those Final Four predictions we heard around here for weeks leading up to this season? Well, they seem to be non-existent after losses to both Richmond and Kansas last week. B.J. Boston has been the leading scorer for Kentucky so far this season, but the most efficient player has been Isaiah Jackson. He's been their best player. And you've heard all the reasons why Kentucky's losing basketball games all week. But on the bottom line with Brad Taylor, we look at life through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. We look going forward, because that's what we are in Sports Talk Radio. We're fortune tellers. We're trying to tell you what's going to happen. Anybody can tell you what already happened. Tell me what's going to happen. The good news for Kentucky is that the season is far from over, despite a 1-2 start. And in the Ken Pomeroy ratings, Kentucky is the best two-loss team in America. There's something to hang your hat on, Big Blue Nation. By the way, do you know what SEC team currently rates the highest in the Ken Pom ratings? Undefeated Tennessee. Wait, Tennessee hasn't even played this season. That is correct, but who cares? It's Tennessee, and Rick Barnes is a terrible coach in March, but I digress, at least until March. Even in the loss to Kansas earlier this week, Kentucky exceeded expectations. They covered the spread. They got out to a big lead early, and Calipari now 2-1 against the Vegas number this year. It's rare to see him start the season with a 2-1 or 3-0 record after three games this early. But today, in the ATL, my old stomping grounds, a place I kind of miss a little bit here and there, Kentucky travels about 375 miles down I-75 from Lexington to Atlanta to face the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And no, Mark Price and John Sally ain't walking through that door. Lethal Weapon 3, Dennis Scott, Kenny Anderson, and Brian Oliver ain't walking through that door. And even Jarrett Jack and Luke Shenser from the 2004 National Championship Final, they're not walking through the door either. No fans at this game for Georgia Tech, who, like most teams in Atlanta, struggle to draw fans even though there's no COVID restrictions, even when there's no COVID restrictions. And of all the major sports in Atlanta, college basketball is the toughest draw, and that's saying something. Want to know how Atlanta pays attention to college basketball? And I've told this story before. In 2004, it was the day of the national championship game, UConn, Georgia Tech. I got home, flipped on the television, and the local news from the CBS affiliate in Atlanta, they were carrying the game that night, and the local sports cast, the local sports anchor, he was reporting live from Turner Field for the Braves' home opener against the Mets. This was 9 years after the Braves' only World Series in 1995 and 13 years after the Braves burst onto the scene as a 14-time-in-a-row division winner. So it wasn't like the Braves were as hot as they once were, but it's just an example of how college basketball is perceived in a market like Atlanta compared to a college town like Lexington here. Like here in Lexington, every local station would send their entire news team to Sweet 16 games. It's a different world, that's for sure. But it's been a very difficult time for Georgia Tech since that 2004 national championship game. The next season after that, they returned all five starters, were ranked number three in the preseason polls, but they lost 12 games and were kicked out of the tournament in the round of 32. In the next 15 seasons, Georgia Tech made the tournament only twice. Paul Hewitt ran out of town. Brian Gregory never made the tournament in 5 years. He was ran out of town. And now Josh Pastner, who took over for Calipari at Memphis, is in his fifth year at Georgia Tech with little hope of making the tournament this season. Although he has a team with four returning starters, 77% of their minutes played from last year. He's coming back this year. But this team is 0-2 with home losses to Cupcakes, Georgia State, and Mercer. But in this time at Georgia Tech, Josh Pastner has been a huge moneymaker. Even going 0-2 against the spread this year, Josh Pastner, 64-44 against the spread in his five seasons at Georgia Tech. That's 59.3%. Only six coaches in the entire country have been better out in Las Vegas than Josh Pastner in the last five seasons. So despite Georgia Tech being perceived as a team going nowhere, they're cashing a lot of tickets out in the desert. Further proof that trying to handicap winners against the point spread is not about taking the public blue blood favorites like Kentucky and Kansas and Duke and North Carolina. Winners can be found anywhere, even in a team that hasn't made the tournament in 11 years that no one seems to ever talk about. A winning ticket is a winning ticket. And Josh Pastner succeeds in the desert in every scenario for today's game. We've already talked about how good he is at Georgia Tech, 59.3%. At home, with no perceived home court advantage in Atlanta, he covers the spread 60.7% of the time. And in non-conference games, he covers the spread 55.9% of the time. So in every scenario of today's game, home, non-conference, Josh Pastner has proven in his time at Georgia Tech that he can cash tickets and make you money. But what does John Calipari do in scenarios like today? Of course, we all know John Calipari, regular season, in his days at Kentucky, he's only covered for you 48.9% of the time. 157 up, 164 down. That's a loser. On the road, Calipari covers 45.9% of the time in all road games. And in all non-conference games, John Calipari gets a point spread, 50.8%. So in every scenario of today's game, Josh Pastner makes you money, John Calipari loses you money. That's 11 years of sample size for Calipari, 5 for Pastner. So while his opponent and protege, Josh Pastner, has excelled in Atlanta in the very same spots, John Calipari has not excelled. And don't forget last season, Kentucky and Georgia Tech played here in Lexington. In that game, Kentucky defeated Georgia Tech 67-53, but Kentucky was a 15-point home favorite in that game. So Georgia Tech covered. So even last year, Kentucky failed to live up to expectations of our friends of the desert as Georgia Tech cashed the ticket for this game last year. The historical data says Georgia Tech has the advantage here. Even ESPN BPI says this game is a 50-50 shot for either side just to win. We're not talking about point spreads. So handicapping today's game, Kentucky right now, a 6.5-point favorite. We see Tech keeping this game close, with a chance in the second half to pull it out. Now, Kentucky should win the game. But we are taking Georgia Tech today, getting those points. And if you're taking Georgia Tech, I'd probably wait up until game time. That line might tick up because we all know the chalk-pushing public, they like to take the favorites and the blue bloods. And that's Kentucky every single time they take the court. So we're going to wait. We're going to take Georgia Tech in this game, hoping we can get a little more than 6.5. And total players might want to look at the under in this game. Both Calipari and Pastner, they have a history of putting up good defensive numbers in this spot. In fact, Pastner coached teams at home. They go under the total 61% of the time. But this number is sitting in the 141-142 range right now, and that doesn't give you any value. But Georgia Tech was fifth in the country in three-point shooting percentage defense last season, and they hit the under 18 out of 29. And in the last four seasons under Pastner, they go under 70 out of 120. They're 70 and 50. Great. Just what Kentucky needs. A team that has struggled to shoot three-pointers all year, and now they're facing a team that last year was fifth in the country defending the three-pointer. Does it add up to a lot of points? Does it add up to an offensive machine out of Kentucky today? We say Kentucky will win this game 73-69. Yeah, that's nice. The Cats win the game, but the Yellow Jackets cash the ticket. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Elsewhere in college basketball yesterday, the top two teams in America were scheduled to play. Well, no, they didn't play. Of course, in typical 2020 style, that game between Gonzaga and Baylor called off at about 2 hours before the game started because two guys on Gonzaga had the COVID. Well, it's what you get for getting your hopes up this season. In other college basketball, number 7 Kansas escaped with a 65-61 win over North Dakota State. Jayhawks never came close to covering as 24.5-point home favorites in this one. Number 10 Houston was an 8.5-point favorite, and they covered 77-67 against South Carolina as the only other top 25 team in action yesterday. Good week for college basketball. Kentucky, Georgia Tech today. Another game today. Number 17 Villanova at number 12 Texas. Texas a 1-point favorite in this game. This is a very tough one to call. Never bet against Jay Wright. Since 2005, he hits in all of his games. He hits over 57% against the spread. This is the game I'll stay away from. But Texas, this is their opportunity to show that they've come around under Shaka Smart. We'll see. Tuesday of this week, number 9 Creighton travels to number 7 Kansas. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. The throat has gotten me. Creighton at Kansas, number 9 versus number 7 on Tuesday night. Kansas, just coming off that tanky game yesterday, they should be a very small favorite in this one. Anything over 6 points, might want to take Creighton in that game. Another game Tuesday night, number 14 North Carolina at number 3 Iowa. How is Iowa number 3? Well, they have a superstar player right now. North Carolina, if you get more than a possession in this one, a.k.a. more than 3, take the Tar Heels on the road at Iowa. And if you're looking for a team to fade this week, Illinois, ranked number 5 in America, they have a tough week. They go to number 6 Duke on Tuesday. They should lose that one, of course, but is a home court advantage. What is a home court advantage this year? We don't even know, but they'll lose that one by a small margin. And then flash forward to next Saturday, number 5 Illinois in our upset unranked trap of the week. Look out for Illinois losing at Missouri, unranked Missouri, next Saturday. You heard it here first on the bottom line. 0-2 week for Illinois. And Wednesday night, number 8 Michigan State will travel to number 15 Virginia. Virginia scoring a lot more points this year. That's kind of worrisome when you know that Tony Bennett, especially regular season in these non-conference games, always puts up incredible defensive numbers. He struggled. That team has struggled so far this year. Virginia will win this one, but anything over a possession, take Michigan State in those points. And of course, next Saturday, Notre Dame will travel down here to Kentucky to play the Cats. If you're getting double digits in Notre Dame, yeah, take Notre Dame. I don't know what the line will be. Anything 10 or above, yeah, take the Irish in that one. And that is your college football handicapping special for the day. Good luck if you're playing the Kentucky-Georgia Tech game today. Coming up after the break, of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. But first, St. John and Myers Jewelry, a new sponsor here on the bottom line. They're the best in the business in offering high-class jewelry in Central Kentucky. Lewis and the staff at St. John and Myers, the perfect place to get your significant other what he or she deserves this holiday season. And if you order from their website, stjohnandmyers.com, use the code LM150 and you'll get $150 off any order. That's stjohnandmyers.com. Use the code LM150 to get $150 off any order. That's a great deal for the holidays. So check out our friends at St. John and Myers Jewelry, stjohnandmyers.com, and tell them the bottom line sent you. After the break, our Mac Daddy Stogies. Cash some tickets here on the bottom line, ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio. Now we're talking a little Pearl Jam. Bottom line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. Enough chit-chat. I've rambled way too long this morning. Let's get to why you're really listening. Cashing some tickets. Let's get to the league where they play for pay. The NFL, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. Why are they Mac Daddy Stogies? Because you can light up that victory cigar before the game even ends. Today on our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock, the Bengals will face the Miami Dolphins at 1 o'clock. And don't forget, we've gone undefeated in our picks the last 2 weeks on this show. Just saying. Of course, now, regression to the mean, that's neither here nor there. We'll always sit on that 2 weeks in a row. Brandon Allen for the Bengals, Tua for the Miami Dolphins. Tua ranks 34th out of 39 quarterbacks in the Pro Football Focus ratings right now. Bengals 2-8-1 straight up, but 7-3-1 against the spread. They have the third worst record in the NFL, but have been great covering lines this season, even without Joe Burrow. Dolphins 7-4 straight up, 8-3 against the spread. They just beat the Jets pretty badly. Fade covering teams. That's what we're going to do in this game today. If a team is winning under 40% of their games on the season, but have a winning margin against the point spread for the season, that's the Bengals. Those teams cover 57.7% of the time, 272 up, 199 down. Give us the Bengals. They've been a covering machine this year, so have the Dolphins, but give us the Bengals getting 10.5 against the Dolphins today. Yeah, we'll take the Bengals. I'll give you a reason to listen to 92.1 Classic Rock for our Bengals coverage. Second game, Jacksonville getting 10.5 points against Minnesota. Minshew, 25th in the league in Pro Football Focus quarterback ratings. Kirk Cousins, 5th. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Both teams have been a disappointment this year, but the Vikings have a winning record against the point spread, and the Jaguars, although they're 1-10 and they've lost 10 in a row, they're actually 5-6 against the spread, so it's not like they're completely tanking against the point spread either. Our trend for this game, take bad teams late in the season. It's very simple. Double-digit dogs in November and December that have won less than 20% of their games on the season, and that's the Jaguars. Those teams go 63-40, 61.2% since 2005. Give us Jacksonville, although it's very dangerous to go against the Vikings and Mike Zimmer, because he's the best coach in football against the spread. We'll take the Jags, getting way too many points today. We'll give the Jags and 10.5 against the Vikings. Detroit getting 3 against Chicago. Two lousy quarterbacks here. Stafford, 25th. Trubisky, MVP Mitch, 32nd in the league in quarterback ratings. The Lions finally got rid of their coach, who's 4-7 now. They were 4-7 against the spread after that Thanksgiving Day debacle to the Texans on Thanksgiving. So Matt Patricia gone. Daryl Bevel will take over for the next 3-4 games, however many they got left. The Bears started 5-1. Now they're 5-6. And MVP Mitch Trubisky coming back. Lions have some value today. Divisional dogs, they're 57% this season. And division dogs that are 6 points or less, 63% this season. Detroit has the rest advantage. And they can also get a little boost from their new coach, because if you heard any of the players this week or saw anything on social media, they're all thrilled that Matt Patricia is gone. So that can only be a good thing. Our trend, road dogs in a low total. That's what the Lions are today. Small road dogs of a touchdown or less, who won very few games last year, six or less, and has won six or less this year. And the total's under 50. Those dogs cover 64.4% of the time. 170 up, 94 down. Give us the Lions coming off firing their coach. They might have a reason to play now, and the Bears have lost 5 in a row. Give us the Lions getting 3 at Soldier Field. In our last game of the day, give us your tired, your poor, your weak, blah, blah, blah. Who's starting at quarterback for the Giants today? Daniel Jones, Colt McCoy, Jeff Hostetler, Joe Pisarcik. There's one for you. Miracle of the Meadowlands, 1978, I think. Look that one up, ladies and gentlemen. Russell Wilson for the Seahawks. He's third in the Pro Football Focus standings. The Giants, they're terrible, but they're a playoff team as we speak. 4-7 straight up, and they're 7-4 against the spread. Winning three straight games, most recently beating the Bengals last week 19-17, although they didn't cover in that game. But the Seahawks, 8-3 straight up, 6-5 against the spread. They've won two straight after taking down the Eagles on Monday night, although they failed to cover because of a crazy late Hail Mary at the end of the game from Carson Wentz. By the way, you talk about bad beats and you are what your record says you are. Yeah, when you're complaining about that one, just, yeah, take it somewhere else. Very simple trend in this game. Conference road dogs in their second consecutive road game over the years since 2005. It hits 62.5% of the time. 145 up, 87 down. We'll take the Giants today, getting 11. Wait till game time. Colt McCoy, if he's named the starter, you might get in a little extra action on the Seahawks. You might get an extra half point. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our Mac Daddy Stogie picks. You can take all four of these to the desert and smoke them. Give us the Bengals getting double digits against the Dolphins. Give us the Jaguars getting double digits against the Vikings. Give us the Lions with a fired coach getting three against the Bears. And give us the Giants getting double digits against the Seahawks. Do you see a trend there, ladies and gentlemen? Dogs, usually double-digit dogs. Give us your tired, your poor. Yeah, we'll take those. Thanks for listening to the Mac Daddy Stogies. Coming up on ESPN Radio, we'll get you ready for the Angelo Show coming up next and your day on ESPN Radio. We have an ESPN pregame show coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock. But first, Clark's Auto Service. I had my car out there the other day. Runs like a dream again. It's amazing what they do. Bill Clark, Ethan Hall, the staff out there, Clark's Auto Service, they're as good as it gets. And you can go check them out and get on their website, clarksautolexington.com. They're the best in the business. My car is still running after all these years. clarksautolexington.com. We'll get you ready for the day on ESPN Radio here after the break. Thanks for joining The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. ESPN Radio, 1300, 92.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. We appreciate it very much. Don't forget, we got a big day here on ESPN Radio. Make sure to tune in right after The Bottom Line, top of the hour. You are here, the hardest working man in ESPN Radio. He is Angelo Carriero. He is the James Brown of ESPN Radio. Do you know that reference, Angelo? I'm sitting here. James Brown, you ever heard of him?
I do know who James Brown is.
The hardest working man in ESPN Radio. That is you, my
friend. He was an undercover brother. That's the way I know.
There you go. High school, ESPN, UK pregame, postgames, your own show. What do you do? You're doing all.
Football, all of it.
What did you think about the game yesterday?
I thought that was a great way to end the season. I think a lot of people, I said before, I came on your, I think I said it on your show before I said it on anywhere else. I said 4-6 was my prediction for the Wildcats this season.
Were we the only two people that said?
It was very unpopular.
Yes, it was very unpopular. Yes, even in this room.
Yeah, so it was, but I thought that this is how an SEC, if Kentucky played an all SEC slate under Coach Stoops, 4-6 is realistic, and people were complaining about it. And to me, it's like, well, what do you, I know you want more, but imagine how many times Kentucky fans have had less. We would have been 1-9, 0-10, that type as a Kentucky football fan base. So I think that for all the adversity the team fought through and some of the collapses that football teams go through from time to time, I thought it was a season to expect.
One winning season in the SEC in 43 years. Eddie Grant, is he the fall guy?
Yes.
He's gone, you think?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, just from speculation.
Terry Wilson, why doesn't he come back?
I think he's just ready to move on with his life, I would say.
You don't think he's going to play anywhere next year?
I don't think he's a future quarterback anywhere. It would be interesting to see if he tried to develop into maybe a running back, halfback, out of the backfield, pass catcher in the future. I think pretty much what we thought Jalen Hurts was going to be at the beginning before he really established himself as possibly an NFL quarterback. I think that Terry is athletic enough to play at the next level, but what that next level is, I don't know if it's the CFL, XFL, what it is.
Well, it's like they used to tell me at the bars down in Buckhead. You don't have to go home. You just got to get out of here. That's basically what they're saying to Terry Wilson. Is that right?
I guess so, but I'm just saying Bo knows best, and that's what I want to see start next season.
6.5 today in Kentucky. You taking Kentucky or are you giving me Georgia Tech?
You see where the ESPN matchup predictor had Georgia Tech favored 50.1%?
50-50 shot.
Look, Brad, I'm sure that you are all over the negatives of Kentucky basketball, but
There's no need for cheap shots. I'm sitting right here.
It's not just you. It's the entire fan base. I actually think this team has a lot of potential, and I see a lot of positives out of this team. We are three games, as watchers of Kentucky basketball, three games into the season. Let's calm down.
So you'll give me Tech in 6.5 today? Is that what you're saying? Put a line in the sand, Angelo.
Go Cats. Go Cats. Let's go with the six and a half and above.
There you go. We'll see. Well, you owe me $10, so we'll just go double or nothing on that one. You can tune in to the ESPN UK pre- and post-game show. You can have Matthew Lawrence. You can have Todd Lanner. And you can have Angelo Carriero. All your ESPN Radio UK preview, that'll be coming up 4 o'clock today, I think. So, yes, make sure to tune in for that. And as always, we thank you for tuning in to The Bottom Line. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email the show anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.